Ayala, thank you.
Ayala.
Thank you. Yes, please make sure we get it right. Yep,
I have troubles enough with my own name sometimes, so I apologize. I'll spell it right. I may not say it correctly. Oh, Liz is right there.
Oh, there she is. Okay, I did set this up.
Okay.
All right, we'll let you get that and then we'll do the.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Somebody came into the office at the last moment.
We get it. She's getting you all set up.
That's okay, I'll just pull up here.
Sit there next to me.
Thank you.
Okay, and at this time we'll do the pledge allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next you will, it seems like forever ago, have the meetings from minutes from the June 24th meeting. I believe everyone had those prior to this evening. Has everyone had a chance to review them? If so, are there any changes that need to be made at this time? Any questions? Well, hearing none, they will be approved. Next we have public hearing. I have to get my old cheat sheet. All right. Persons who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes an appeal to LUBA on that issue. Please sign in the back, the sheet in the back of the room, or make a note in the chat if you're participating via Zoom. If you would like to present testimony.
I thought Stephen was presenting.
Presenting?
I thought Stephen was.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Chair, one moment. Do we hit record on Zoom here, Stephen, or do you do that?
I think so. It won't let me hit record on my end because I'm not hosting. You guys are hosting from there.
Oh,
so
record,
record
right there.
To the,
recording in progress.
Cloud, do that.
We got it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yep.
Sorry for the interruption.
That's okay. You want me to read it? The minutes have been approved, draft, and now back to public hearing. You want me to start over just so it's on recording? Persons who wish to provide testimony may do orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and the parties an opportunity to respond to an issue precludes an appeal to LUBA on that issue. Please sign in the back of the room. The sign-up sheet is in the back of the room or make a note in chat if you are participating via Zoom. If you would like to present testimony, please only speak when identified by the chair and begin by giving your name, spelling your name, and address. If you have exhibits for our consideration, please provide a copy to the staff. If you would like to request the commission to hold open the record and continue a hearing, you must make that request before the public portion of the hearing is closed. That concludes my introduction. I call the this hearing to order for Far Forest OAR Code Updates AZ15925. Must be Tamara and Clint.
Yeah, it is. I'll just start. I'll do the background, and then Clint has done the heavy lifting on this, which I'm super pleased to share. So we did have a work session on these proposed code amendments. The state agency, Land Conservation and Development, spent about 2 years updating what they called the Farm Forest Program improvements, updates. So it looked at all of the ORS 215 and ORS, can't remember, all of the statutes for EFU and forest use zoning. And at the end of last year in December, they adopted a whole new set of administrative rules that have direct effect on our code. Those were compulsory, so we've been implementing them. And the work that really mostly Clint has done is to take that language and incorporate it into our code so people can look at one document, which is our zoning ordinance, rather than our zoning ordinance and the administrative rule or statutes. So we've been, we had a work session with you, the Planning Commission. We also had a work session with the Board of Commissioners on July 2nd. The board adopted, I mean, they told us to go forth and include those. They had a couple of other kind of like housekeeping things in addition to what we had proposed. So that's really, so those have been included. And then we also have a couple of other housekeeping items, which Clint will go over with you, that has to do with a flood hazard overlay zone. So that's really the background. I had previously sent you, and I thought I checked this packet, a lot of the background information in a memo, but that's not in the packet, and that's probably okay. When we did the work session, I shared with you the staff report that the DLCD staff made to their commission, which gave very long explanations for why the changes that were in those new administrative rules were there. So if you have questions about some of these things or want more background, you can test me and ask, and I'll see what I remember.
Same.
Yeah, same. Clint as well, yeah. So that's what I have. And happy to answer questions or turn it over to Clint to just go over the changes.
So, yeah, there's any number of ways we can do this. It's up to you all as the commission to let me know how you would like to do it. I guess I would propose, I think there were about 32 changes within the total four documents. We can go over those one at a time and just briefly touch on those if you'd like. And then if you have any questions, let me know.
That sounds the smoothest.
Okay. Now. It should go relatively quick. Just to expand a little on what Tamara said, we have the OAR changes that are in effect, and we're just getting those adopted. They also, within that update, had a rules advisory committee that went through and essentially just looked for clarification within existing rules. So we had our new rules, we had clarification of existing rules, then we had board recommendations, which weren't directly tied to the Farm Forest, but we were looking at the documents anyway. And then we just had some general kind of staff cleanups, scrivener's errors, things like that. So I'll touch on each one of these and then just briefly address those. I'm going to read off a page number. That page number is the blue page number in the top corner of the packet.
Upper right-hand corner. Right. Is that cool? I'm thinking that's really cool. Okay, all right.
I appreciate it.
That's right.
So starting briefly on page 16, which should be the first page of the 3.010 exclusive farm use. And if I need to slow down, let me know. In the middle of the page, the board recommended we change our requirements for a zoning permit from 100 square feet to 120 square feet to match the building code. So we had no problem with that. Moving on to page 18. At the top of that, a new OAR change was as far as farm products that can be processed. Rabbits were specifically added, so we added that there. Moving on to page 20. At the top of page 20, that's simply a reference to some home occupation standards that we added that we will address momentarily. Page 21, right around the middle, was a clarification from that committee on the definition of what a private park is. So that is added. Towards the bottom of the page, item 28, child care facilities were added under the OIR update as an allowed use in exclusive farm use.
Conditional use,
uh-huh. Correct, thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So on page 21, 27, it's read, any outdoor gathering. It's just a different verbiage than what's on page 18. So I'm just wondering why you put it in two places on the top of page 18, number one.
So the first one, which is an administrative use, is an event that lasts between 24 hours and 120. So more than 24, less than 120. it becomes a conditional use if you exceed 120. No problem.
Good. I just put in 24 because I...
Good catch, though.
And I don't know why it actually highlighted the 27 in red. I don't believe that was actually a change. Every once in a while, Microsoft Word thinks it changed something. So child care facilities were added. On to page 22. The top of that were clarifications on some standards for transportation facilities. So we added that and also made reference to the ORS. As Tamara stated, for some of these, we want to try and make as much, add as much detail as possible within our local code so we're not having to refer back to the OER ORS. But in some cases, those references are so incredibly extensive that we don't want to make this document another 50 pages. So in a few places, you will see the reference back to that. Directly below that, under use standards, F1, we took that existing farm processing and kind of broke that into some subsections so it read better. That previously, that was a giant paragraph. On page 23 is an interesting one. You'll see for a couple different places now. There are new requirements to allow the, is it allow or shall? Yes.
A farm stand may?
Shall submit to the county. So there are a couple different things. Farm stands we address here. Later on we'll talk about some different non-farm dwellings, or excuse me, farm-related dwellings, where essentially you will provide to the county tax statements to meet that income requirements for those that require income standards. That's not something that we would publicly release. Obviously, we would file that and just keep that in our files, but that is something that they required. So they shall submit that and actually left it open to basically anything we require for compliance. Moving on to, we're jumping ahead to page 32. Talking about expanding existing facilities in the farm zone, we went ahead and just made a reference to the OAR because that does get kind of complicated there. Directly below that, the board recognized just some verbiage changes that made it a little more clear, so we made a couple just basic changes there for clarity. On the bottom, section 21, home occupations, the Rules Advisory Committee had some suggestions to clarify the standards for home occupations, basically limiting intensity and use, making sure people aren't abusing the system and running full-blown businesses claiming their home occupations. So they provided that recommended verbiage. On to page 33. The top of that is just a continuation, so down towards the bottom, this is clarifying the income verification for farm dwellings on non-high value land. Same thing, thou shalt submit an IRS tax return. The next page, page 34, is that same requirement for a farm dwelling on high value land. And then jumping ahead to page 39 is that same income verification for an accessory farm dwelling. Top of page 40, talking about some relatives and farm dwelling units. We're not sure where that actually came from. That's some sort of remnant from an old code that should not be there. It's not consistent with OAR, so we removed that. Kudos to the board for noticing that. Page 43, this was a pretty significant change, and this revolves around farm impact tests for non-farm dwellings. So just really laying out when you go to approve a non-farm dwelling on EFU land, you can't just throw out some pencil whipped, yeah, it won't affect anything. This lays out some standards to actually do more of a study. So this lays out the requirements.
It's a lot. It just made those probably four times as long as they were previously, because we've implemented this a couple of times, and it's a lot more prescriptive. I guess it takes the guesswork out of it. It just makes a lot more work for everybody. They weren't necessarily a problem in Morrow County, but we're just implementing what the commission adopted.
Just holds us to some very clear objective criteria and responses. Moving to page 45, towards the bottom there, those were just simply some numbering and reference corrections, Scrivener's errors. Top of page 46, we added a reference to OAR for replacing an existing dwelling. Basically, we already had that within our code, but it's kind of bulky, so we just wanted to add that as well. So that gets changed. We're going to make a ton of changes ourselves. Page 48. This clarified some of the requirements for what is considered an agritourism event. Just again, having to demonstrate that an event is incidental, subordinate, and necessary to support farm operations. So clarifying that, again, probably to prevent people from trying to work the system. And then on page 50, that was the one part where we talked about events, single agricultural events, and we changed that 10 to 11 p.m. to be consistent with everything else within the rest of code. That was the only section that said 10 for some reason. That does get us through all of the farm, the 3.010 EFU. Do you have any questions before we move on to Forrest? Okay. That gets us through more than half, so we're moving along nicely. On page 67, which is page 1 of Forrest, the green part in 4, that was, we had a pretty lengthy conversation with the LCD, kind of understanding exploration of geothermal resources versus physical alterations. Bottom line is, we had this listed as requiring an administrative review. It should not have been. It should have been an outright use. So we moved that up there. That's the green. And then the red was our addition of a couple references to justify it. Back that up. Underneath that, again, you'll see 100 square feet changed to 120. And next page. A lot of the blue you'll see in the left margin are just resulting numbering changes. So on page 68, the green, again, that's what was removed and moved up to allowing without a zoning permit. Directly below it, was there another thing where we're not quite sure where that came from, but there is no need to obtain a zoning permit for private hunting and fishing operations, so we removed that. Page 69. Electrical transmission lines within the right-of-way and those details that were given, that was also, that was listed as a conditional use and should have been listed in administrative review per OAR.
So this is, like, just clarify, it's
land use decision?
It's not, no longer a conditional use.
That is correct. We had it listed as conditional use, that is.
Okay, so it's an outright use.
It requires an administrative review. Versus,
okay.
So it is still a land use decision, but not a conditional use.
So findings, public notice.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So page 70 added references to some of those transportation improvements that we mentioned earlier. Under that, you've got the transmission lines that were removed and moved to the correct section. The next page on 71. Yep. Definitions of a private park again. Directly below that were some more standards as far as transportation improvements. And 73 is the last change in Farm Forest. And that is basically being very, very specific as when you do a template test to determine essentially how many houses are in an area, whether or not you can justify another house in the forest. There was some creative measurements, and so they clarified that you use the center of the subject tract, mathematical central of the tract, just super clear. That is the rest for forest. Moving to page 91.
Eighty-six.
Did I miss one?
That's how it is in my
notes. Yeah. That's 86 is the beginning of the document. There's no changes until page 91.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
I'm paying attention.
And actually, I will maybe hand this over to you. We're kind of jumping away from the farm forest.
Flood hazard.
I think we discussed this previously in our very initial.
We did.
But I'll have Cameron recap again really quick.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. It has been a while. I think we did our work session in May or June, did we say? A lot relative to the federal flood insurance program has changed since then. And if you recall, I had mentioned that there's a big internal and external battle going on because the National Marine Fisheries Service sued the Federal Emergency Management Agency because their standards are not complementary. They're really at opposing principles. So FEMA wants things built that are sturdy outside the floodplain. NEMS doesn't want anything in a floodplain that would affect the fish habitat. A big summary, but that's kind of the nutshell of it all. So there was a biological opinion that the courts upheld and said, yeah, that's right, FEMA, you're going to have new standards. So FEMA then sent a notice to every city and county that has a flood insurance program, which just means we have people in the county that have flood insurance. And really, we have less than a dozen in the county. You might know, Chair Ekstrom, but those flood insurance is purchased sometimes through a local agent, but it goes through the federal program. So our entire program really only applies, we think there are only about a dozen policyholders, but we have a lot of property that's in the flood zone, believe it or not. I mean, even though we have a lot of intermittent streams, there are a lot of parcels that are close to the stream, and it's usually kind of lovely to build a house close to a stream, right?
So, wait, they're saying there's only 12 policyholders in Morrow County?
I'd have to...
flood zone? Yeah, because not all of Ione, but majority of Ione.
That's county, not city.
You're talking in the county.
In unincorporated
their
county.
Their county ones are ridiculous, too.
Really?
I have one that they asked what the closest body of water was, and I wrote Pacific Ocean. They came back. The closest body of water was 27 miles away, and it was the Columbia. The reason for flood in county outside is flash flood coming through the canyon.
And Ione has those too.
And it has nothing to do with fish. There aren't any fish in the canyon.
Well, I tracked that down because I thought
it's probably pretty close. I would say, I mean, it's only in our area anyhow, and I bet you we write them all.
Right. Well, and I think that's about the number, and that's been probably a year ago when this first started, because last December, by December 4th, the county had to report on which preliminary implementation compliance measure we would pursue, and we were given three choices, and we chose the case-by-case basis. We also had the option to have a moratorium or adopt a model code, which was not available at that time. And since that time, we've actually had two that required a habitat assessment to show that whatever development we were permitting didn't have a negative effect on the fish habitat. And every stream in Morrow County is subject to this, even though they might not be anadromous or fish-bearing streams. They're all tributaries to the Columbia. So it includes everything. This might get overturned, but... Dan's welcome to talk about it some more. I think this is about the bare minimum we can do because we have to implement those preliminary implementation measures. There might be more that comes out in the next year or so, but at least if we have it in our code, somebody comes to the office. We're not always in the habit of making sure we check to see if something's in a flood zone. We try to remember. Development demand that's close to a stream is pretty low, but we try to remember. And this just says if we require that if you're developing in a floodplain or a floodway, then you have to do this habitat mitigation assessment. So anything you want to add to that, Dan?
Right, and of all the three pick'em choices that everyone had available to them, this is probably the easiest one to do, especially for counties that don't have a huge area in the floodplain. And it was a lawsuit brought that FEMA's regulations violate the Endangered Species Act, and so that's what drug NIMS. It wasn't NIMS initiated.
Oh.
NIMS did the biological opinion, determined that there would be jeopardy unless they implemented some kind of measures to ensure no harm to listed fish. So it's, what you pick is sort of a safe insurance policy. Over the past 8-9 months, though, things are up in the air with regard to FEMA and its regulatory appetite. Mm-hmm. And they've also recently issued their environmental impact statement on the whole program. And so that's out for comment. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have not.
And so comments are coming in, but basically it's the three options are no action or pick one of these three options. I can't remember there are three options under the environmental impact statement. But so this is all kind of in flux. If you pick this option, it's kind of hard to miss. And in fact, now there's an emerging industry that'll do these listed fish species impact evaluations. So it's not such a weird thing anymore, sort of. And every, throughout the Northwest where there are listed fish species and streams that impact critical habitat for any of these listed species, everyone's roped in. Some counties, like Tillamook County, has got tons of floodplain areas with listed fish, and so, they have joined the litigation to challenge the whole thing. So that's where things are. Safe, keep your head down. This is a safe harbor, and it's bound to be compliant with the Endangered Species Act.
Thank you. We might come. Thanks, Dan. That's helpful. It's been a minute since I had my head in that whole stuff, but we might need to come back a year or two from now. It depends on where the courts lie and what happens to FEMA.
Oh, 6 months from now, it'll be like forget everything. Totally different story.
It might be. Okay. And that's why the language in here said the county may require a habitat.
I sent you an email from FEMA for the comments if you want
to. On the
Endangered Species
in the,
Act.
Environmental Impact Statement.
Thank you.
When's the comment period close? I think there's still time. It's
six.
Still
open. October 6th.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Not a ton of time, but some time. And I know Wasco County reviewed their comments, so.
I don't plan on preparing comments.
Yeah, Wasco County, of course, was not. They argued strongly for the no action alternative. Well, that's not going to happen, so. Mm.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you,
Tamara. Yeah.
All right. To wrap this up, jumping back really quick to the farm forest topic again, moving to page 100. These are just, this is just Article 1, our definitions. Top of page 100, we just left a placeholder. We will fill in the new adoption date. And really the significant change was on page 105. And that got into recommended changes, clarifying the definition of preparation and what are considered products and byproducts along those lines. So again, you're going back to processing your rabbits and your poultry and all that fun stuff. And other farm crops, just defining that further. So that covers all the changes that were either required, recommended by the Rules Committee, or recommended by our board.
Yeah. That was way quicker than the first time. any questions for staff?
So the tax IRS tax return requirements. Is that new?
A lot. I sat on.
I think that was an Oregon revised statute or something like that, wasn't it? I remember that being something of a hot topic recently.
It was a hot topic on farm stands.
Farm stands, that's what.
Yeah, it was a really hot topic there. I think.
Yeah, both of those, the farm stand and the.
Agritourism.
Yeah, that too. I think counties have not consistently applied that. I think at the local level, most counties are okay. You see one county, you see one of 36 counties, right? But the state was looking for some consistency amongst those 36 counties. Some counties did require a tax return, some did not. It's probably the most clear and objective way. It feels, as a planner asking for that, it feels very intrusive, but they just show it to us, we make a note of it, and then you go away. We don't have to keep a permanent record of it.
That's what I was wondering. I felt like it's a, looked at a Schedule F, checked it off, and went.
Yeah. I mean, would we have to keep a permanent record of it, Dan? The proof of a tax return?
This, I remember when I was a young lawyer, when you had to have a farm management plan, and then they changed it to the income test.
Yeah,
and
yeah, the 93
so
stuff.
How long you have to keep these things is dictated by the Secretary of State's retention schedule. But I think because it's a land use, it's part of a land use decision, I would bet they're... It might very well be perpetual.
Okay, but this I was thinking particularly of the tax return or Schedule F. Would we need to keep a paper copy or a scanned copy with application?
Digital is the way to go these days. Digital is
yeah,
the way to go.
Yeah,
so,
but we
so
would...
You keep the digital or the hard copy still?
We do both. We're in the process. Anything since about 2020, maybe earlier... We scan and have a digital copy. We have an intern. We've had one for the past 3 years that scans stuff, so we're converting everything over to digital. Mm-hmm. But I was
all
just wondering.
Our clients are massively going through the boxes and scan, and getting rid of the hard copy.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. It's happening just slowly. But my specific question was, would it be sufficient to just make a note or a finding that staff did review that tax return in the schedule to confirm we could make this finding? Or do we actually need that tax return in the file?
The tax return would be needed for the appeal period, but after the appeal period, I don't think that it's necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, you're required to, the retention schedule applies to your land use decisions.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. You know, the record associated with those, I don't think it's very long, but the Secretary of State's retention schedule knows.
That makes me feel better, because...
My concern was...
Those giant LUBA appeals with the record that is attached to those, that's the whole enchilada. You don't need to keep all that beyond the appeal period.
Okay. My concern would be one of those tax statements being released as public record for a records request.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
really not necessary.
Don't do it.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wrong button clicked. Good
question.
Good question.
Any additional questions? At this time, invite public testimony, comments, or presentation on this matter. See any? Don't need a rebuttal. At this time, do we wish the hearing to be remained open? Don't believe that's necessary either as what type of issue we're. So at this time, we'll close the public hearing. Do we have any last questions for the staff? Hearing none, a call for a recommendation to the VOC. State currently who's making the motion and state who has second. Oh, I can do that myself. I figured that out. So, we either can the Planning Commission recommends approval or does not recommend approval of AZ 159-25.
And remember, it's a legislative action, so your role is to make a recommendation to the board. So you don't get the final say on this one, but unlike other decisions.
Do we need a motion?
Yes.
I motion that we push forward our recommendation of approval to the board of
Oh, do I have to state it? The aforementioned.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Okay, motion passed and moved that the planning commission recommends BOC approve AZ-15925. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys did a lot of work over a very long time period.
Yeah, it was. Excellent work.
It's went through a lot of people.
It has, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
So.
Yeah, thanks, Clint. I mean, it probably might not still be in front of you, but Clint said, oh, I can do that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So our next one is other business, is our Columbia River Trail update.
Yeah, and our lead consultant is Elizabeth Lizzie, and she can introduce herself. She's with JUV Engineering, and we've been working over a year.
Yeah. So Tamara, real quickly, I sent you an email to add to the record about the Columbia River Trail, and I don't see that on here. I specifically said the act is being incorporated into the record for accountability of transparency, especially since this intersects with the BPA trail corridor. And then I sent a bunch of attachments. It's not in this packet. I was wondering where that's at.
So there's no formal action tonight.
I know, but I still want to add it to the record.
We can add it, and it just, when did, I'm not sure when you sent
it. I sent that September the 17th. I followed it up with several different emails, trying to get a response about staff reporting with this and other stuff.
I know, you've sent me like a dozen in the last 2 weeks.
It's all attached.
Okay, so I will, the Planning Commission will have a second work session on this, and before that subsequent work session, I will make sure that they get your comments about that.
And I would like to know, because you said on September 20th you had a meeting, and I sent this on the September the 17th and also the 19th as well too. Two different emails concerning that.
Oh, yeah. We did send packets up early because two of the people are out of the office on training.
But, in your thing that you have here, you said on September 20th you did an update. Wouldn't that be everything before the 20th then?
I'm not even tracking.
Do we have pages from 19 to 162?
We didn't add that because we were going to put it on the screen. Okay.
They were in our, they were on the packet.
They were in the, yes, in the electronic packet, yes.
And I don't see anything, there's no pages on this Columbia River Trail draft. So that was why I'm here at this meeting and the public comments part of it. I'll have to find it because I saw it here before.
Okay, I will look for it. And
I just want to make sure it's added to the record.
Okay. And adoption of the Heritage Trail Plan will not be a legislative action. It's in the future it could be added to whatever it is, Goal 8, Recreation, but it won't be a formal legislative action. But we can certainly add to the record.
So just to add to that point, though, because of the TSP draft that you guys are doing with the city on UGB, it is on the Master Park Plan, so it is attached to the Columbia River Trail. So there is an approval that needs to be done by the county in order for that to get done.
But we're not looking at the city's
TSP. I know, but it's all attached, is what I'm saying, to the TSP draft, which they will vote on eventually.
So what's attached to the city's TSP?
The city master parks plan. I have it written all out as far as how I want to say it.
Trail. Hold on one second. I just want it to be in order. So we have not, this is the first, not the first, but we have not seen all of our information being presented. She's never come to us present.
But I want to pause it right there, and I agree with you, Stacy. Okay, but the reason why is because I've done this before 7 years ago, and everything's overlooked. Everything's just a mistake. Everything. What's that?
I'm just saying. I understand, and we will get it in the correct order.
Well,
that's not. I'm not trying to. I'm just stating This is the first that we have had a meeting, unless I'm incorrect, unless I missed a meeting, this is the first that we've had a meeting with, do not, you're being disrespectful with your facial expression. Just let me speak, okay? Because I'm respecting yours, but I need to understand the order in which we're doing it. So I want you to understand what we have done so far, okay? This is the first we've been presented to by on this. So that's why I want to make sure we're doing this in the correct order and to be sure it's presented correctly. Okay. That's why I'm trying to, I just want to make sure it's done orderly, and I want to make sure we will get the documents in which he has submitted. But I just want to make sure we do it in order.
Okay, so this is why I did email 2 weeks ago almost, on this. And it should be attached. And I asked for it to be a part of the record. And we can say it was overlooked. But I've gone through this process for the last 7 years of things being overlooked. And when I put it in writing and asked for it to be part of the record, it gets very frustrating, especially when it's a big corporation that gets to, overlook rules as far as how it goes. And I can provide all the documentation that you want. I've got it all listed out. But my frustration, and I apologize, Stacey. I want to personally apologize for any disrespect. But what I've had to deal with, because no one follows the rules unless they're the big guy, it is very frustrating. And I've called it out several different times. And I want you to hold me accountable, as well as the big corporations as well, too.
That will occur.
I'll into that. Thank you.
But that's what I'm just trying to figure out. I just want to make sure we're doing it in orderly fashion. We'll make sure that the documents are attached.
Okay.
But we need to first, and we have a public comment at the end as well. We'll make sure that they're attached when we get them. Our packets, like I said, I don't deal with the administration part of getting the packets out, but we will make sure that we get them.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to hear what she's going to say to us.
Okay, because Tamara, I just got done sending another complaint that was 2 years old that, I'm so sorry, we never even...